Okay, we are now joined by the 2025 NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series champion, Corey Heim. We will get right to questions for Corey. If you have one, please raise your hand and we'll get you a mic. We'll start up here with Reed.
Reed Spencer with the NASCAR Wire, congratulations. You referred to it in Victory Lane, but over the last few weeks, you may not have been the affable Corey that we all know. Saying that you had a lot of pressure on you, that you felt great relief at the at winning this. How intense was that feeling? I think you mentioned that it was back at the Charlotte Roval that you started feeling this, and how gratifying is it to get the job done?
Yeah, I can't say I've felt this feeling, you know, in past years. The first year I was a part of the championship for, I was not a rookie technically, but rookie from a full-time perspective, and was just kind of happy to be there, but also knew we had a lot of momentum, so I wanted to prove myself. And obviously, you know, things got out of control and didn't get that one. And then last year I felt it was our year. We had the momentum and, for lack of a better word, kind of got our teeth kicked in. And this year we came back and, broke just about every record he possibly could, and I felt the pressure that if I didn't get the championship, that cherry on top, that, the season obviously would have been really good and where we were at, but, that was the ultimate goal. Even if we had no, wins to our name in 2025, we still were trying to win the championship. That was our number one goal. So just felt a lot of pressure to get that done, and especially being with the best, truck team in the garage as well, I felt a lot of pressure to fulfill that and make the most of it. Certainly had some crazy stuff going on at the end there that almost took us out of it, but it was just meant to be, for sure.
Go to Matt.
Matt Weaver, Motorsport.com. Did you allow yourself at any point over those crazy things you mentioned to ride that emotional roller coaster of, oh God, this is how we lose, or we're back in it? Like, did you go up or down, or were you pretty steady throughout that?
Honestly, I had a lot of thoughts brewing in the back of my head about just how terrible the end of the race could have gone for us there, starting 10th on, fresh tires with 10 to go. But I was completely determined to make sure that, we had a shot at it at the end of the day. I'm not going to say I'm going to go in and wreck the guy by any means, but I drove into three on the inside wall there as hard as I could, and it stuck, thankfully, because if not, we would have probably wrecked about 20 of them. So, I was so determined to make up for it. Scott did the right thing. He put us on four tires at the end there. I didn't think we'd be that much better than everyone else, being able to drive around the inside wall and take all those spots. But, certainly we did the right thing, and that's why we're in victory lane.
And then there's a lot of variables that could go wrong on that restart, because there's two guys on no tires, guys on two, and then you how much conviction do you have that the seas are going to part the right way? And is there anything that in real time you're like, oh, I shouldn't have done that? Or did you feel pretty confident in every decision you made?
Yeah, realistically, in my other championship four races, I had no confidence in my competitors after what happened in 2023. So, being able to control the race and be on offense rather than defense and basically not allow anyone to wreck me, for lack of a better word, was kind of the way we needed to do it. I would have hated to be, if we stayed out or took two tires and there was a four tire guy coming behind us. I know they're, the championship four that was with us this year, definitely I had a lot more faith in them racing me clean. But, just me being on offense and me being in control was kind of the priority there at the end. I think Scott knew that, and that's why we went that approach. But, starting on the bottom too, I wanted to be in control of where my truck was on the bottom and me sliding up rather than taking the top and being victim of someone else sliding up, so pretty much just did everything we possibly could to just make sure we didn't get taken out, basically, and we were able to accomplish that.
Go up here to Bob.
Bob Hockris, Fox Sports. When you did take four tires, there was some chatter, oh, did he lay back? Did he not lay back? Can you kind of take me through your mindset of, okay, trying to, do everything you can to get all you can so early in there and just trying to judge, okay, how far back can I be and to get the run that you did on that restart?
Yeah, people are going to talk about anything that they possibly can to put an asterisk on it, right? We kind of kicked their ass this year, and we put ourselves in position, and I did everything it took to be in the right spot at the right time. When you got a guy that stayed out on 50 lap tires and you put him on the front row, if you don't give yourself a gap, then you're screwed, right? I mean, if I start on the guy's bumper, I know how much NASCAR, we talk about in the driver meetings all the time, how much you can get away with, and I didn't abuse that. I listened to them, and I did everything I could to put myself in position to win the race.
And how does somebody lead a lap in every race in a season?
Cross the start finish line first as the leader.
Well, what?
I'm kidding. No, I mean, I certainly just from the very beginning, like, I was honestly surprised that we were able to get through Daytona and Atlanta as well as we did, and I think somehow we were able to lead a lap at Daytona. I don't know at what point, but to bring the best equipment every single week is a feat that's maybe overlooked. I mean, I know a lot of people are talking about us statistically, how good we are, but just we were so good every single week, and that truly takes a team from top to bottom, and everyone at Tricon Garage, everyone on this 11 crew specifically, and Toyota, all the support from them, just it really takes an organization, a team, manufacturer. You don't see it every day where we can just consistently bring cutting edge speed every week, and we haven't had that in years past. You know, we've been good at the intermediates, we've been good at road courses, but we were able to just put everything together this year and bring our best. So that's a phenomenal feeling for me.
Come up here to Jonathan.
Jonathan Field, the Racing Experts. I want to take you back, 2020, Kansas, ARCA, you know, that first win, everything. Put yourself in those shoes, kind of remember back to then. Now kind of back to today, you know, what has the journey been like kind of going from sort of like, you know, who's Haim? Who's this guy to now like everything that's happened this year and just where you are in your career right now?
Yeah, no, it's a surreal feeling. You know, I came from, you know, 2019, I ran a part-time schedule with a different team and had a pretty lackluster year. You know, my dad's investing pretty much every dime he's got into my racing career, hoping I can, you know, latch onto a manufacturer and you know, get some support there to, you know, allow me to full-time race. And took a chance to go to Venturini Motorsports in 2020 and run a 7-race schedule and, you know, did some late models on the side. But, you know, typically, you know, if you're running 7 ARCA races, you're not really in a running to be in a full-time truck at some point. You know, it was kind of the breaking point for me, honestly. And I was able to win Kansas as, I think it was my last race of the year, get a full-time opportunity with Venturini and Toyota the next year and go out and have a really good year and set myself up for, you know, success going forward. And, you know, little by little, I kind of just kept faith in Toyota and what they had planned for me. And I've always felt like I've been put in a really good position at all times. So kept faith in that and kept faith in Tricon Garage. Everyone was kind of unsure of where we would land from them moving from, you know, David Gillen Racing at the time. And, you know, I'm just so glad that I stayed committed and stayed loyal to those people that put me in that place at the right time. And, you know, just to look back at kind of where I was, like you mentioned, it's a pretty surreal thing. I mean, if you told myself in 2020 where I'd be in 2025, I probably wouldn't believe you. So definitely a pretty surreal feeling for sure.
Go over here to Wolfgang.
Wolfgang Munzer from Germany, Rennsport Press Agency. Corey, first of all, congratulations. Honestly, I was a little bit confused what you said to the interviewer after the race. If I understood it correctly, you were not happy with the car after qualifying and practice. What kind of improvements were done for the race? I mean, the car was so dominant at the race.
Yeah, really, you know, after practice, I mean, we've been so good the last 8 or 9 weekends that, you know, we were good in practice. I mean, we were good, but we've been great the last 8 or 9 weeks. So to bring a truck that we've had weeks to work on and just didn't quite hit it where we needed it to between practice and qualifying was a little disappointing. We knew we had the speed to get it done still when you look at the lap crafts and everything, but yeah, we fought handling more than anything. The speed was there, the handling was not, but we've had both, you know, for a long time now, consecutively on weekends. So the fact that we were able to you know, kind of put everything together and make sure that we were able to get both handling and speed in the truck for tonight and understanding how the weather was going to change, how the grip levels were going to change as the sun went down. You know, we practiced in the daytime. So be able to tie that all together. You know, I was definitely stressing about it a little bit, but at the end of the day, we got one of the best crew chiefs to ever do it up on the box, Scott Sabadelli. So he did everything he knew to do, and you know, all of his experience kind of paid off there for his adjustments for the race. So very grateful for him and really everyone on the 11 team.
We'll go to Davey.
Davey Siegel with Sirius XM. So when you're seven wide, as low as you can go pretty much, in that moment, you're probably thinking you're in an okay spot. But backing up a little bit, I was scanning you, and you were talking to your spotter, basically saying, I can't really see anything in front of me, so coach me, tell me where to go, what to do, all those things, especially with the lane violations on restarts we've seen here in the past. I mean, going into that restart, how optimistic were you that you would be able to gain the ground that you did?
Yeah, if I remember correctly, I was more torn because I thought, so I was 10th, and I thought five guys were going to choose the bottom just because you typically would fill both lanes. So I thought, okay, I can be 10th on the outside or 11th on the inside, but I'm pretty sure only four guys took the bottom. So I was like, oh, that's a layup. I'm going to go bottom, gain a row, right? Or gain, not gain a row, but gain the inside advantage on that row. So, I thought that was a layup as far as choosing the bottom. And then, you know, the main concern for me is just how bad the dirty air is on restarts. You know, we're all bundled up. We're racing a bunch of airplanes out here basically trying to find clean air. So I told him, like, hey, if a bunch of guys dive to the apron, I could probably take advantage and go to the top and have a bunch of momentum off of two. But by the time that we got to the start finish line, I knew that I had enough of a run to go to the bottom. And you know, I figured we'd be three or four wide, maybe not seven wide, but I based it off of the nine truck in front of me and just kind of went lower and lower until he couldn't anymore and I could with my tires. So I didn't really think about it at all. I just kind of went off of muscle memory and my instincts at that point, but definitely glad it worked out because it didn't, you know, I was on the inside wall through one and two. I didn't think it was going to end well, but sure enough, the four tires worked.
And the final stop with those four tires, Scott was very confident in that call. When you're sitting on pit road waiting for the jack to drop and you're seeing everybody go by you, what's going through your mind?
Yeah, I mean, I was disappointed to see everyone roll by me. I mean, it's a track position racetrack, and I knew that we had a pretty good stop. I think Scott originally thought that we just had a really bad stop and everyone passed me because he came on the radio. He was like, what's going on? Like, what's the deal? But, you know, we rolled off, first car and four tires, of course, and was able to execute on that. But, yeah, he's just really good at what he does. I really did think that two tires was the call there, I'll be honest with you, but that's why I'm not a crew chief at the end of the day. So, you know, he did a phenomenal job and has the entire year, all 3 years, I've been a part of his team. And, you know, I find it funny that I still doubt him because he always proves me wrong.
But it doesn't.
Dustin Lobino, Jayski. Corey, with how dominant your season was, all the records that you broke, like, what do you want to remember the most from this season?
Yeah, I don't know if there's anything specifically. I mean, just... Yeah, I mean, just looking back at what we've been able to accomplish this year, I think, you know, a lot of it is because of, you know, who on the 11 crew has made it happen. And it's such a team effort at the end of the day. Like, those guys have just consistently set me up with really winning equipment. And, you know, Scott being the captain of the team, you know, he's been the guy that's kept that whole crew together since 2023. We've had literally every single person other than pit crew together on that 11 crew from the middle of 2023. So, you know, it's obvious the guys want to work for him and work with him. And it's really a big family, honestly. It feels like a family. And I want it to be remembered that way, as, you know, we won as a family. We did everything right. And, you know, looking back at 2024, where our weak spots was, we really honed in on that and made it better. So just a consistent progression from 2023 when I first started with those guys. And, you know, it truly took a family to get it done.
Go over here.
Hey, Corey, Eddie Kalegi, Motorsports Today. Congrats on the championship. Two quick ones for you. I hate to keep harping on the seven wide move, but on the end of it, I mean, obviously there's like infinite amounts of space going through one and two, but then it all funnels. And when you're on the bottom lane and you've got to clear up, what's going through your mind at that point as you're trying to just make sure you don't run into anybody and you're able to make it stick?
Yeah, I knew if I was going to enter low on the apron like that, I was going to need to shift to third gear. So I grabbed third pretty quick, tried to roll speed. And as soon as I tipped in the throttle, I couldn't believe how much grip I had down there, you know, compared to everyone else. I was just rolling by him. And I didn't really know how many people were on my outside at that point, and I really didn't care. I was just going to commit the throttle, and if someone got in the wall, I really didn't care, honestly. I was just going to keep going because I needed momentum down the backstretch. So, as you said, it kind of funnels off a two, and, you know, being from the inside wall all the way back out to the outside wall on exit, I was just kind of hoping that I wasn't four or five wide and not going to get hooked in the outside wall, you know. So did everything I could to just get pointed straight and not put anyone in a bad spot, and just was able to pull through. I don't know. It's kind of all a blur at this point, to be honest with you.
And you talked about the execution from a team standpoint, but for you as a driver, going back to 2023 to now, how do you feel that you have most improved your craft to get to this point?
Yeah, I think it's just about learning something new every week. You know, I think looking back at 2023, I felt like I had a decent understanding of where I needed to be at in the truck, and I had a lot of holes in my development as far as, especially like short track and this style racetrack, as far as my driving style and everything. And I really never figured it out until this year, to be honest with you. I've always felt confident on intermediates, road courses, maybe super speedways, but the short track and 1 mile and under racetrack style, I've never felt extremely confident. But I was able to work with Trevor and Blake on that deal, and 2311 also, just spending a lot of time in their shop at Airspeed, and making sure that I know just what is, I guess, setting me apart from the competitors and everything. So I put a lot of work and effort into it this year, and you know, I feel like we're definitely the best truck on those style racetracks. And of course, my equipment got better. I feel like we all got better as a team, but I think I was a big part of that, and just understanding what I was lacking and what I needed to do better at the end of the day.
Okay, we're going to take five more. We'll go to Eric, Reed, John, Zach, and then wrap with Jonathan.
Eric, you step out of the groove. Your crew chief talked about the prep work you put in, and you talked yesterday about studying Ty Majeski after this race last year. So were you able to apply anything specifically to tonight's race?
Yeah, I think that plays right into what I was just talking about as far as the driving style stuff. You know, I just had these tendencies that really stuck out in the data that we looked at. And looking at Ty, he does a really good job at just kind of optimizing his equipment with his driving style. He's a short track guy, you know. He comes from late models, and you know, looking at that data from SMT and understanding what made him so good at these style racetracks and why he significantly outperforms his equipment most of the time, you know. And I was able to essentially copy that, you know. I think that's you know, a resource that I was able to take advantage of and continue to execute on. But yeah, he does a great job, and I was just able to kind of mirror that tonight and also set my truck up around that as well. You know, we spend so much time on sim, and I think it gets to a point where you sort of set your truck up based on someone's driving style, and we had to do a lot of changes to be able to, you know, go towards that direction. So you know, definitely cool to see that payoff for sure.
Reed.
Reed Spencer with the NASCAR Wire. Scott said that he had mixed feelings when the caution came out at the end of regulation. At that point, you were going to be the champion by finishing second, but Riggs was going to win the race and win the owner's title. What were your feelings when that caution came out? Were you sad because of the uncertainty of the situation that created, or happy because it gave you a chance to win the race?
Yeah, I mean, looking back on it, definitely happy it happened, you know, and we got a chance to win the race straight up on the same tires. But yeah, I don't really remember the way I felt when the caution first came out. I definitely think I was like, oh boy, here we go again, 2023, and then we're gonna have six overtimes, and this is gonna be chaos. But luckily, we only had two, and you know, we were able to kind of weasel our way back up front and kind of execute on those restarts. But yeah, I mean, my first thoughts were just like, we kind of struggled with our pit box all night. We could get in okay, but for whatever reason, launching out of my box cost us several seconds on pit road. So I was like, I know we're going to pit here. This is going to be tough. You know, pit crew can be perfect, and we're still going to lose several seconds. So I was a little worried about that. But yeah, I mean, I kind of just kept my head down and kept digging at the end of the day. Knew we had a shot at it. We had the best truck all night. So gave us an opportunity.
Go ahead, John.
John, newbie fan buzz. When Kevin Ray was up there, he was talking about your work ethic, and it sounds like you basically live at TPC. So I was very curious, you know, who instilled that in you? Because it's not a requirement to work that hard, but yet you do.
Yeah, I think it takes everything. You know, it takes to, you know, as far as being in physical fit shape and, you know, also being able to digest and understand data and everything. I feel like those two are the primaries for me, being able to, I mean, it's been hot all weekend, right? I mean, staying hydrated, staying in shape, making sure you're good to go is kind of a glaring priority. But also just being able to, you know, get the other side of that as far as making sure that, you know, I'm prepared as a driver at the end of the day, from a data perspective and input perspective and everything. I don't know. I feel like I'm a very motivated driver, and to be able to have an opportunity to work with what I think is the best truck team that's been ever assembled, you know, with those guys in the 11 crew, I'd feel bad not being able to prepare to the best of my ability and execute on that, you know, showing up to the racetrack and, you know, not knowing where I'm at and not being prepared is, I kind of feel guilty, honestly, you know, being, you know, having the opportunity that we do to work with those guys is a special one for sure. And, you know, definitely glad we could execute on that.
Come up here to Zach.
Zach Sterniello, NASCAR.com. Corey, congratulations. I guess I'll start here. How have you grown through these moments of adversity, whether it was some of these races at the beginning of the season slipping away, here in 2023, just the moments that could have contributed to you crumbling, it seems like you've really grown from instead. How have they all impacted you?
Yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, it just takes the experience to understand, you know, how to conquer adversity. You have to conquer adversity, I feel like you have to be in adversity, you know, you have to learn how to get through those things. And, you know, just being put in a spot where you're in 10th place on a green white checkered and having to go get after it, I feel like you've had to be on the losing side of that once or twice to understand how to execute on that and actually win. So I've been on the losing side of it a lot of times in my truck career. I've gotten wiped out. I've wiped people out. You know, it's just, it takes everything to understand, you know, and sometimes you don't like it at the end of the day, but as long as you can grow and learn from it, I think that's the most important part. And I've been able to kind of digest these tough experiences in past championship races. And I feel like I've been able to apply that too at the end of the day.
On the flip side of that, what does all of this history mean to you? I mean, the season that you've had this year, no one's really come close to what you've been able to accomplish. What does it mean to be able to have that on your resume?
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of weight off my shoulders to be able to, you know, come and do it at the championship race for sure. I think everyone has known how good we've been throughout the year and how dominant we've been, how many stage wins and wins and poles, whatever you name it, you know, at the end of the day. And we coming into Phoenix, we all knew we were the best team, but anything could happen at the end of the day. So I was very stressed, to be honest. I think everyone that's close to me kind of knows that at this point. But, to be able to win and do it for everyone on our crew that's worked so hard those early mornings and late nights, you know, those guys work their tails off on the 11 crew and everyone at Tricon and Toyota really that put effort into it. To be able to just see the smiles on their faces after the race, you know, really means the world to me.
And we'll wrap with Jonathan in the back.
Jonathan Howard on 3 Sports. You've only had 2 DNFs in the last 3 seasons, and you had 0 this year. Where does having 0 DNFs on the season stack among those accolades and records that you've racked up? That it's an impressive stat.
Not super high. I mean, I think, you know, when you're able to run top 5 and run up front most weeks, I think, at least in my opinion, I feel like I put myself in good positions at the end of the race, you know, and I feel like a lot of the DNFs, maybe not all of them, but most of the DNFs when my career has kind of just been us getting wiped out or caught up in a big wreck or something on a speedway. So, but when you're able to run top 5, you're able to stay out of the mess. You know, I feel like it all starts from, like, you know, normally the teens of where you're running from 11th to 20th, that's where all the big wrecks happen and stuff. So when you're able to stay ahead of that and not be involved in that, and it kind of goes back to just being able to bring cutting edge speed every week and run up front, you know, be out of the mess. I think that speaks volumes of, you know, our race team consistently being able to be up front and out of that. So I guess on the surface, it doesn't mean a lot, but when you start thinking about what it's taken to stay out of the chaos and whatnot, I think it definitely means a lot.
And you've had your criticisms of the series or maybe others in the series in the past, but do you think that the truck series is still a good place for young drivers to develop?
Yeah, I mean, I think the trucks are probably the most similar to cup cars. I've driven all 3. So from a vehicle perspective, I think it definitely resonates the most when you're trying to develop to be a hopeful cup driver one day like myself. And I think Xfinity is great too. You know, I think you're kind of comparing apples to oranges at the same time. You race a lot more in the Xfinity side, and they're definitely a little tougher to drive at the end of the day. But when you want to go cup racing, you got to come to trucks. So, it's an important stepping stool for kids, and I think it's definitely healthy. And we've definitely cleaned a lot up in the last couple of years. So glad to be a part of it.
Well, Corey, congratulations, and thanks for all the time. Enjoy the off season.